All right. Hey, as you are settling in, I have a task for you. Are you ready? Here's the task. I need you to take out a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper, or if you are one of the technological age, you could take out your phone, you know, whatever you're into, really. And I want you to write down three good things in your life, three things that you would consider good in your life. I just want you to write them down. This should not take you a very long time. Three, and things could be, you know, whatever. I mean, like, I want that to be as generic as possible. So three good things, aspects, components, whatever you're into in your life. I want you to jot that down on your, with your pen or maybe on your phone. If you're like my son, you'll just write on your skin because that's what he's into. Yeah, Sonali, no problem. So I want you to write down three. How many?
Three.
Hey, good work. Three good things in your life. Any three. Good aspects, good components, very generic. While you're doing that, I'm going to tell you about one of the good things in my life. One of the things that I've been blessed by specifically today is music. This morning's music has been an incredible blessing to me, and it reminds me back in December of 2013, I was called away from the city in which Jennifer and I were living to go to my village. I use the term village specifically. It's a very small town where I come from originally, where my parents still live. And I went there because after 43 years of leading the music in my home church, Carolyn Johnson was retiring. And we were all being called to come back to celebrate the commitment that she had given God's people for such a long period of time. Isn't that worth honoring? Goodness gracious. So I came back, and I want to share now with you what I also shared then with them, and that was this, that I was so blessed to grow up in the fellowship in which I grew up. Because before I knew my theology, I was singing my theology. That before I could articulate or understand or even reason out the greatness and the goodness of our God and the blessing that he is to us, I was singing that he was my strength when I was weak. He was the treasure that I seek, that he is my all in all. And that when the time came for me to start articulating these things, I found that I had had the words with me all along because I had been taught them by Carolyn, by God's grace. Isn't music a blessing to us? And so as we get started, I just want to pray to open us, but I also want to pray a special blessing on Navaz and the rest of the servants here who are doing the same for us here as was done for me there. That as we grow in grace and in God's word, we find over and over again the very truths that we are finding here, we have been singing there. So let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for the blessing of being a part of church and being a part of this church in specific. Word of grace. God, we thank you and praise you for the music that you have provided here, that through this means we would come to know your character and that we would have thoughts formed about you that are true and perfect and holy. And God, that we would come to your word and that we would see here what we have already sung there, and as a result, we would have it imprinted on our hearts and minds to your glory. God, we thank you and we ask you that in this time, you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to fully know and understand your word, that we might be made more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you don't know me, I'm Chris, and it's super exciting to be here. My family and I have been a part of Word of Grace for almost 2 years at this point, and it has just week in and week out been a blessing to be here. And occasionally I get an opportunity to get up here and spend time in the Word with you, which is also a tremendous blessing that I am grateful 4. And so I have noticed over the years that I have taught in a variety of different genres, that I've taught in one of the Gospels, I've taught in Revelation, I've taught in Genesis, and I've done that kind of specifically so that we can kind of go through some of the different genres and learn how to read them. And so today, we're going to spend time in the book of, what is it, Meher? Psalm. Where I come from, we say Psalms. That's not correct. Psalm. Look, I don't even need Google. I have Meher. So we are going to spend some time in the Psalms. So we're going to answer three questions today. The first one is, what are the Psalms? Second, what is wisdom literature? That's going to clue you into the first question. And third, how do they help us? All right? What are the Psalms? What is wisdom literature generally? And how do these things help us? So let's start off first with, what are the Psalms? The Psalms, just like we have been singing earlier this morning, are a songbook for God's people. Just as I grew up being exposed to the truths about God, given to me in a means that I could carry with me easily in music, God's people have had this for centuries, millennia even. That many of the Psalms have been written by King David many, many, many millennia ago. And so we've had these things, and these truths have been incredibly helpful for us because they give us examples to express all sorts of things, including thanksgiving and adoration to God. It teaches how we can grieve in a biblical way. They help us understand how we can express confidence in our God despite circumstances. And these examples are powerful, especially as we are exposed to them from the age of children. We find ourselves following along in their tracks by God's grace. And if you don't believe me, I'll prove it to you. Could you put the video on? And if we have to go without sound, we can also do that ultimately.
Let's cheer him on.
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay, yeah. This practice, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
okay,
come on,
okay.
It's your turn. All right, okay, come on, take away your spoon.
Can I have a spoon?
Spread your legs out wide, really wide. Put one foot here, one foot right there. One foot right.
But you gotta
right
stand here. Up, baby, stand up.
Right here. Okay, now stand up on your legs.
Good.
Get comfortable. Stand comfortably. Good. Now, go ahead and put your hands down right between your legs.
You have to look all the way up here at Mama. Can you see Mama?
And chin to your chest.
Look at
good.
Mama before you go. Can you
hands,
see Mama's hands?
Hands here and here.
You gotta see Mama's
Mama.
Hands.
Can you see Mama?
Now go.
Let's fall over.
Yay. Let's cheer him on.
Yeah, absolutely. Give him a round of applause. He deserves it, right?
I think
stop it. We don't need to do it multiple times. Although Cohen did watch that video something like 74 times this morning. Hey, there you are, buddy. You gonna come show us live and in person? Just like Cohen watched Nahum learning how to do a somersault and then said, okay, just as I have seen this example set before me, I am going to follow in it, so does God's word give us an example of how we can express, especially in the Psalms, our adoration to the Lord, thanksgiving to the Lord, and even real things, right? Like grief and disappointment and even despair, that we can bring these things to the Lord in a biblical way and still praise Him with those things. Isn't it a blessing to have that kind of tutelage in front of us? So the Psalms, as you may have guessed, are also something, a part of something called wisdom literature. Wisdom literature. So that raises an important question. What is wisdom literature? Wisdom literature, just like the Torah, have largely been considered historically to be five books: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The wisdom literature of Scripture is also largely historically been considered five books: Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs. And that these books exist, as all Scripture does generally, these books specifically are helpful in developing God's people in wisdom. What is the Hebrew concept of wisdom? In a very general way, the biblical idea of wisdom is to be able to align our thinking with God's thinking. That our hearts would reflect His hearts, our ideas would reflect His idea, that we would be made more and more like Him. That's why we can say that the beginning, and Proverbs does, that the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Because acknowledging Him and His glory and might and power and beauty and all that He is in reverence and love and adoration is the first necessary step to aligning your thinking with His thinking. That He is the anchor in all of reality, and that we align ourselves to Him and thus our thinking also with His thinking. And so wisdom literature helps us do that. Helps us incorporate these things. One way of looking at it is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Nahum's going to show us that he has more tricks than just somersaults. He can also put Scripture on the screen. Jack of all trades. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. That is, our thinking is transformed to further reflect His thinking. Conformed not to this world, but rather to Him. That's how wisdom works. And wisdom literature really, really helps us do that. And I can prove it to you. So, the third question that I wanted to ask is, how does the wisdom literature help us? And in a variety of ways, but one specific aspect that I'll give to you is in fighting sin. Just as this verse lays out, that we don't be conformed any longer to the thinking of this world, but rather being transformed by the renewal of our minds. And I'll give you an example from our very first parents, Adam and Eve. You may remember that in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve fell in the garden. They committed the first sin. And if we watched that in slow motion, instant replay, what we would see is a serpent coming to them and talking to them and telling them lies about God. And then them trusting their eyes and looking at the apparent goodness of the fruit. And trusting in those things more than they trusted in the word of the Lord. But what does wisdom literature tell us? Well, you tell me, what does Proverbs 3, 5 tell us? That we should trust who? The Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our understanding, right? If Adam and Eve would have recognized this truth from the wisdom literature, they wouldn't have leaned upon what they were hearing from the serpent or what they were seeing with their eyes about the fruit. They wouldn't lean upon their own understanding, but rather upon the Lord. And you can see how that would be effective in helping them to fight that first sin. Wisdom literature can be incredibly helpful in fighting sin and transforming us to be more and more into the image of Christ. So with that in mind, I thought that we would just quickly this morning walk through one psalm together. So if you'll turn to Psalm 16, We will do that together, and we will make some observations about the way that this can help us. And I'm just going to read it just a couple of verses at a time. The version I have here may be slightly different from what you see on the screen, and that's okay. So the first two verses of Psalm 16 start this way. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. I want you to take out your list of three good things that you wrote down or maybe digitally input into your mobile device. And I want you to see if we are trusting the word of the Lord. Go to the word of the Lord and see that it says, I have no good thing apart from you. So look at these good things in your life and see if you can trace how it's the Lord that has brought them there. I mentioned music earlier, and through the ministry of Carolyn Johnson and then through Nivaz in present day, that the Lord has absolutely been working this in and through my life for years. What a blessing from our good God. And if you find yourself thinking, you know, I don't know if I can trace this good back to God, you might want to ask yourself, is this truly good? Is this thing here that I am ascribing goodness to truly good? Because we know that God's word says that apart from you, I have no good thing. Let's continue on. Verses 3 and 4, it says, as for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. Verses 5 and 6. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. One of the other blessings of wisdom literature, ways that wisdom literature helps us, is it points us back to other parts of the scripture. For example, when it says that the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, that's actually a reference back to the book of Joshua, where God's people have entered the land that he had promised them, the promised land. And that after God had given it to them, they were dividing it up among the people. And the different tribes inherited different portions of the land. And the lines that divided up those portions were falling in pleasant places. Isn't it true that typically we fall into something called the grass is always greener syndrome? That we find ourselves with whatever we have looking at someone else and saying, but if only I had what they have. But one of the goods of the gospel, one of the blessings of being a part of God's people is contentment. That we can see the Lord carving out an inheritance for us, that he is our portion, and that we can look at that and say, that is enough. That's enough for me. That the joy of the Lord is my strength, and that the lines have fallen in pleasant places, that he has given me more than I could ask or imagine. What a blessing. The world does not have contentment, no matter what they have. But God gives us contentment freely in him and in his provision for us. What a blessing. Let's continue on. Verses 7 and 8, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night, my heart also instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. In 1970, the American space program had sent one group to the moon already, and then a second group, and they were gearing up to send the next group when something happened. You see, the Apollo 13 spacecraft, a movie that maybe you've seen, but probably not, it's been a minute, appears nowhere in the Marvel Galaxy at this point, but the Apollo 13 spacecraft had a malfunction, And all of a sudden, the mission of the astronauts and the ground control and everybody involved was no longer to get to the moon, but rather to get these men home safely. And a point in time came when there was an issue. They didn't have enough electricity, enough power in the batteries to get them home if they left on all of the systems, and so they had to shut most of them off. And that led to a scenario in which the astronauts in question needed to burn the rockets. They needed to propel themselves forward in space so that they would be on the trajectory that was necessary to get them home. But they were not going to be able to use any sort of guidance computers to do that because they couldn't spare the battery. They would have to do it by merely looking at the Earth in a window and timing how long they needed to fire the rockets. And as long as they could keep the Earth in a window about yay big, then they would know that they were on the right trajectory. And so their responsibility in that was to keep the Earth in front of them, no matter the cost. And as they were doing it, they had the rockets propelling them. They had two or three astronauts working to level the spacecraft as it went. They had ground control speaking to them, encouraging them forward, giving them advice. And they made it home safely. Praise God. And we see this same idea in the word here, that the psalmist says, I have set the Lord always before me, that he is the destination, the goal, the home that we are constantly pursuing. But as opposed in this verse to having these other things, ground control and others, and propulsion from rockets helping us along, not only is the Lord our goal that we are pursuing, he is also all of our help in getting there. It says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. That the Lord, as we pursue him, is also our ground control, as it says here, giving us counsel and propelling us forward toward himself. And for this reason, because he's at our right hand, we're not shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon me to my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. And this next verse, I'm going to talk about personally here in a moment, but has meant so much to me for so many years. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There have been so many times where I have been tempted by sin, by lust of my flesh, and that I would think to myself, oh, I could embrace this lust, and that would make me happy. But then I would remember this verse, that in your presence there is fullness of joy, at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Then the lie of sin is that it will make me happy. But the truth of God's word is that in your presence, as we sang this morning, your presence, Lord, there is fullness of joy. And in having the word of the Lord fill my mind, the appeal of sin is stopped because I know the truth. That's why the scripture asks, how can a young man keep his way pure? The Lord. What do you have, Navaz? I thought Navaz was going to bless us not only in song, but also just through recitation. The word of the Lord is sufficient to do that miracle, to help us conquer the flesh. And so this morning, as we have just spent a little bit of time in God's songbook that we have here as wisdom literature to help us reshape our thinking according to God's thinking, to help us increase in wisdom, My hope is that just as this has been a blessing to me and helped me fight sin and continue my pursuit and joy of the Lord, that it would do so for you. And so I'm going to pray that for us right now. And then I believe Bincy is going to come up and share a testimony of God's goodness in her life. Pray with me. Dear Lord, we come into your presence knowing that in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And God, we see in your word that you have given us incredible wisdom to know you, to be transformed, to be more like you, to worship you, to express all of the different emotions that we encounter, and to be able to do so in a way that brings praise and honor to your name. God, we thank you for this gift from the Psalms. And we thank you that you've given us so many in our midst who are able to encourage us along your path, because we know that is the path that leads to joy, the path of life. God, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.